first get saved, when you're born again. That's when God cleans you up. Now you learn how to yield to God, you learn how to follow Him, you learn how to get a more intimate relationship with Him, but you'll never be any more righteous. And it's shocking sometimes to realize that Jesus will not be any greater in heaven than He is in Muskogee. We're always looking to heaven, and that's great in one sense, but we don't want to go to heaven half as bad as we think we do. Amen? I want to go to heaven when I die, but I'd like to live, be 125, 30 years old, maybe 400 like they used to, something like that. Amen? I want to prepare to go to heaven, but I'm not ready. I'm prepared. Amen? But I enjoy living for God here. How about you? Amen. A lot of people talk about, oh, I just like one preacher said, I wish that's dead. I wish that's dead. And he had a heart attack, and all of a sudden he begged God, please, God, forgive me. I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it. He just said that morning, I wish that's dead. Everything's going wrong. That evening had a heart attack, and he's begging everybody to pray real hard so he could live. Amen. That's kind of like the prophet of God that's running from Jezebel. He wanted to die. He said he just wished he'd die sitting there in a cave and all. But, well, if he just stayed over there where he was, Jezebel would have took care of him. She would have killed him. So we need to be careful. Now, for your life is hid with Christ in God, and we are identifying with Christ when we're born again. So I'm going to talk to you in just a little while tonight, and we're going to pray for the sick and worship God some more. But we're dressed up in Christ. You are dressed up in Christ. People should not see you as just a common human being. They should see you as a child of God. In Christ, you've been made righteous. You need to acknowledge that. This is all a part of putting on the new garment or the new man that God's made you. By dressing up, you are not still wearing the same old clothes. You don't have the same old smell. You don't act the same way you did. You do not wear the shame, the guilt, or oppression anymore. When you get dressed up, you're the righteousness of God because you've been born again. You have robes of righteousness that you put on every day. So when you get up in the morning, you say, I'm going to put on the robe of righteousness, and I'm going to confess and declare, according to God's word, who I am. I am a child of God, and according to Philippians chapter 6, my mind is renewed in the word of God, and you begin to declare righteousness in Christ Jesus. And you say, I think every morning we should say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Start your day off. Start your day off, right, amen. Instead of getting up, we say, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do this morning. It just looked like the bills are piling up, and I can't get anything done. Yep, I know nobody but me that have been guilty of getting up and saying that. Looks like everything's going wrong, nobody cares, and I think I'll just go to the garden and eat worms. Feeling sorry for yourself. Sometimes we break our arm almost trying to pat ourselves on the back, feeling sorry for ourselves. But we are the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen? In Christ. Oh, we're dressed up in Christ. We're blessed in Christ. Ephesians 1:3 said, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. What are you blessed with? All spiritual blessings. There's not a blessing in the spirit that God hadn't blessed us with in Christ. But I got to recognize and claim it. I got to confess it. They're mine. Amen? So He has blessed us. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly place in Christ. We are seated in heavenly places. We are blessed with the same blessing Jesus has right now in the presence of God. If we're in Christ, He's in the presence of God, we're in the presence of God. I know that almost seems like your own grandpa. And I got so mixed up, some people the other day trying to tell me the kinfolks and who was kinfolks, and he just married his cousin or something, and he was my uncle and she was my aunt, and there's yet my brother-in-law or something. And I said, don't go any further. I'm so confused, I don't even know who you are. But we must recognize who we are in Christ. We have the blessings of the Lord upon our lives. Every blessing that heaven itself enjoys is ours right now. We do not have to wait till we get to heaven. They're ours today. February the 6th, 2005, they're ours. Now, in Christ, we already have those blessings right now. We're already blessed with the same life, the same blessings, the same joy, the same righteousness, the same peace, the same love. We climb up into Christ and hide ourselves in that rock and see the glory of God. Now you say, man, if I could do like Moses, well, get the picture. Moses said, Exodus 33:18, show me thy glory. Lord said, Moses, I'm going to put you over here in this rock. God said, I'm going to pass by and you're going to see the hinder part. Well, what rock can we get in? Jesus is that rock in the weary land. Jesus is the rock that was in the wilderness. Jesus, rock. You can hide yourself in Jesus and see the glory of God. Show me thy glory. Hide yourself in that rock. We can climb up in that rock and we can see the glory of God. We're victorious in Christ. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and make us manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now I'm telling you, everywhere you go, the triumph and the smell of victory is on you, is greater than whatever you're around. We are to be walking so close with God in Christ that people smell victory every time we pass by them. Hello out there. We are to be in Christ every time we pass by somebody. Somebody should stop and look and say, who was that? Oh, that's just Brandon Haney. Well, I wonder what happened. Hello? He's been with the Lord. He's walking in Christ. That should make the difference. Am I making sense to you? Am I so far out that you think I've lost my marbles? It's the Word of God. I'm trying to establish something, and I am doing my dead level best to lift you up to that, and I'm doing my dead level best, and I'm enjoying it. Ever since the first year, I'm enjoying living this way. And confessing every morning, I'm going to be happy today, and it's going to be a wonderful day. And it's working. Problems hadn't bothered me that usually bother me. Amen? Why? Because I recognize who I am and what he's done for me. And I'm going to inform you, if you need healing tonight, you need deliverance tonight, number one is recognize who you are in God and what Christ has done for you. You cannot be healed until you recognize what Christ done for you. He paid for it. He took your sins, and in the same blood he shed for your sins, he shed blood for your healing. Amen? But you got to recognize it. And we get saved so simple, but then it makes it so complicated to get healed. We tell people, just confess with your mouth, believe with your heart, you'll be saved. I believe the same thing works to get healed. Just confess with your mouth, believe with your heart, and you'll be healed. Amen? I know that's a way out there, but we'll get back. I'm not going to leave you hanging out there. So we're triumph. And when this victory of triumph comes out of you, it has effect on the atmosphere around you and wherever you go. You create an atmosphere when you're in Christ. Amen. Have you been around people that are so close to Christ you just love to be around them? They just had a magnetic force that you just, oh, I'd just like to sit with you for an hour or two. I'd just like to talk to you. Well, and we're free in Christ. I like this, Romans 8:1-2. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Life in Christ, that's what I've been talking about for 5 weeks now. Life in Christ, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. What's the law of sin and death? Sickness, sorrow, heartache, poverty. All those things is in the law of sin and death. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath, past tense, made me free. And if I can recognize and accept it, I can walk in it. Man, this excited me. I am excited me preaching. Praise the Lord. Whether you're getting anything out of it or not, I'm getting something out of it just getting to preach it. When you go out through the wilderness, if there's a path going out through there, you got to recognize the path and stay in the path or you can get in trouble. Well, God's made a path for us when he gave Jesus to us. The way is made. We just got to follow that path. Kind of narrow sometimes, but there's room for you and Jesus on it. Amen? So one translation said there's no sentence of guilt against those who are in Christ. See, you're not guilty anymore. The devil is accuser of the brethren, but if Satan can get you to live under condemnation, then he has stole your inheritance. You cannot get your inheritance living under condemnation. So you see why it's important to recognize we are in Christ, the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen? I get so tired of Christians feeling so little and unworthy and unnecessary and insignificant and everything. It's all right to feel that way about yourself and the flesh, but when you realize you're walking in the Spirit, you have Christ in you, that changes the total picture. Doesn't matter where you come from, what your background is. Like Brother Eddie Clark said, walking out of the hospital, he said, I've been telling my brothers and sisters, they're all saying, well, Mama had diabetes, Daddy had diabetes, we've lost some of the diabetes. I've got three brothers now that's coming down with it and trouble with it. Said, I said to them, guys, you need to bring yourself out from under that curse and find real victory. Said, I remember the last time I was there what you preached, and said, I've been telling them what you preach. In Christ, there's victory. We're not under any curse in our generation when we come into Christ and are born again. I get tired of this old generational curse 10 years back or 100 years back. I had some forefathers. Didn't matter what my forefathers done. Didn't matter what they'd done over in Ireland before they come over here and change their name from Mac Callahan to Callahan. Doesn't matter what they done down on the Indian reservation and all, I'm not under that curse. Now, you may not agree with me, but it won't change your life till you do. Amen? I have to recognize that I'm under the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. I'm a new man. I'm a new creation. I have a new nationality. I'm not a Jew nor a Gentile. I am a Christian. I have the blood of Jesus flowing through my veins. Royal priesthood. Hallelujah. Ought to make you flap your wings and start flying when you really realize it. And when you're born again, there's boldness in Christ. He said, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of him. Ephesians 3:12. And this is one of my favorite scriptures because you can't get anything from God being timid. The devil overrun you. Amen? You got to get bold. It's kind of like the little girl was going to catch the school bus and her little beautiful little poodle was following her. And she said, go back. Called him by name. Said, now, just go back. And he wouldn't go back. And she went on a few steps and he followed and said, go back. I said, go back. He tapped his head and as soon as she went on, he just followed her on up. Before she got to the bus, she knew he had to go back. She turned around and stomped her foot and said, I said, go back or I'm going to switch you good. He tucked his tail and went back. She became bold. She spoke with authority. If you don't speak with authority, the devil will just walk all over you and rob you of your inheritance. Amen? Because he's an adversary of your soul. But you come bold in the Lord. Praise the Lord. You don't get in him God does not want you dragging in, crawling in, or sliding into his presence. He wants you to come walking in like a child of God. You have a standing with God that you can walk into the very presence of God boldly. Amen. He said for us to come to the throne of grace boldly, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. That's his word. God wants you to come walking in and saying, Abba, Father, or Daddy God, I'm your child. We should get to feeling like God enjoys seeing me come in his presence. My dad did in the natural. We'd be gone for a while and come home, and Dad would see us come, and he was excited to see us come. His child come home. And God's always excited for us to come into his presence, to recognize that we're in his presence. See, his presence is everywhere. You can't go anywhere that God is not already there. Did you know that? You don't have to pray for him to be there. You just have to recognize you're in his presence, and it changes your whole world because God's everywhere. Is that right? He's everywhere. And the devil's not everywhere. He can't be everywhere at the same time. Man, he don't know everything. He don't have all power. We build him up bigger than he is. So I know God is glad to see me when I enter his presence. And I like that. Numbers 23:21 says, he hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. So when you come walking into the presence of God, in Christ and through his blood of Jesus, God cannot find anything wrong with you. Isn't that wonderful? When you come in Christ through the blood of Jesus, God can't find anything wrong with you. Because he can't see your sins on the blood, they're cast into the sea of forgetfulness. So he sees you as a perfect child when you come to him in Christ. That's how we get our prayers answered. When we recognize that we go before God in Christ, he's not looking at Denver Callahan and answering Denver Callahan's prayers. He's looking at his son that lives in me, and I'm in him. And when I pray, then I'm reflecting his son, and he answers. Should give you faith. Righteousness gives us boldness in our prayer life. In him you have boldness when you pray. You're not a beggar. You come into God's presence with confidence, saying, I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ and Jesus. Father God, I know when I pray, I have confidence that you hear me. And when I know that you hear me, I know that I have my petition. So there's your faith built up because you come boldly into God. We get boldness in the presence of God. Where do we get boldness? In whom? We have boldness and access with confidence in his presence, according to Ephesians 3:12. I have access our way into the presence of God in him. You say, what is the way in him? You must climb up into Christ by faith, declaring, I am in him, and he is in me. I'm the Son of God. And you're made ready in Christ, giving thanks unto the Father which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, Colossians 1:12. Now the word meet here in the King James Version simply means that God has qualified us, or God has enabled us, or God has made us worthy, or God has made us ready. And you'll never be more ready for your inheritance than the moment you receive Christ, and Christ is in you and you're in him. You're ready for the blessings of God. You're ready for the inheritance. In other words, you don't have to sing in the choir 38 years to be blessed. You don't have to be a deacon for 12 years to be blessed. You don't have to preach for 30 years to be blessed. I wished I'd knew some of this thing that God revealed to me in the last few years. Wished I'd knew that when I first started. I thought I was going to have to be faithful to God 25, 30 years before he could start blessing me. And I thought, the way I was taught, that I had to pray about 4 hours before God would hear me. Amen? But God's listening for our cry at all times. If we're in him, he's closer to us than the telephone. Amen. How long does it take to get an answer to? If you ring somebody in California, you hear it ring, they pick it up, you're answering. Like, God answers quicker than that. All I have to do is say Jesus and I have God on the line. You ought to be smiling at least by now. I'm trying to help you. You're in Christ. You know where it's at. Colossians 1:12 said, giving thanks unto the Father. Sometimes you need to say, oh, Father, I give you thanks. Father, I just give you thanks. I told you about the little guy in Fresno, California that never asked God to do anything. He just thanked him for it, and he had miracle after miracle happen. He said, Jesus, I thank you and praise you for healing this person. I thank and praise you for healing Sister Callahan, and she was healed. Amen. So we need to just stop sometime and say, Jesus, I just want to thank you. Amen. You have to come to in his presence with reverence, realizing in worship. But that is not being unworthy. It's just worthy through him. When we come into the presence of God by the blood of Jesus, we bow down. And there are times when God will say, stand up with boldness and declare that you are who I say you are. And it gives him honor when we believe we're his son. Don't you think I have honor when Denny or big old Rodney, we're with a group, they said, this is my dad. When they acknowledge me as their father, I get honor. That's my son. Amen. Are you following me? And we honor Christ by saying we are his son. God loves that too. Yet wisdom in Christ. Now this is good. You want to hear that. And whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Caution 2 and 3. In Christ. Now get this picture. In Christ, you treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden now. They're stored up for you. They're not hidden from you. They're hidden for you. Never heard anybody say that. The mystery of God has been hidden. People said, it's just now being revealed. It was hid for us, not from us. Amen? He's got it put up for us, and we've got to get in Christ to have it. So wisdom and knowledge. God has a secret place where he's hidden them. Whatever knowledge, whatever direction, understanding, wisdom, whatever you need about your marriage, about your children, about your finance, about your future, is hid in Christ or stored up in Christ. And you can have that, and it'll be there if you recognize whatever you need. That's why Deuteronomy 8:18 said, remember the Lord thy God that giveth you power to get wealth. Wisdom. Not, you know, if you have wisdom, you can get wealth. But if you get wealth without wisdom, you can't keep it. That's why some people make money and always broke. They don't have wisdom. They didn't ask God for wisdom and knowledge. But you can be broke, then take your house, then take your clothes, and take your car, and you got wisdom, you'll get it back. You'll get wealth again. There's millionaires that went bankrupt 3 or 4 times, come back and make a millionaire again. They have wisdom. There's power in wisdom. There's power in knowledge. And when you have the wisdom and knowledge of God's words, you can receive what God has for you. If you don't know he said you can have it, it's hard for you to receive it. Am I making sense to anybody? Amen. So in him is stored up wisdom and knowledge, and I'm just discovering after 50 some odd years of preaching that I have a right to go and declare that he's going to give me the wisdom and knowledge. I need to make an extra $1,000. He'll give me wisdom to know how to make it if I'll abide in him. It's in him. Oh, I don't believe it. It's true anyway. And it'll all be true when we acknowledge it and recognize it. See, the Good News Bible says he is a key that opens all the hidden treasure of God's wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom and knowledge are more valuable than money. Money will perish, but wisdom and knowledge will help you. And you get patience in Christ. Someone said, not only is the devil stupid, but he's impatient. God is patient, which is one of the fruits of the Spirit. He has time, in which one of the fruit of the Spirit works through him. And the Bible says, through faith and patience inherit the promise. Hebrews 6 and 12. The devil will hang around for a while, but if you've got patience like God has, you'll wear him out. And finally, he'll just say, well, it's not working. I'll just have to leave. She's not listening. She's not going to be deceived. And the devil gets impatient. You know, when you exercise your faith, you have punched the button. It works. Got on the elevator one time, punched the button, the light was on. It didn't come down. I sat in the front door waiting for it to come down to get a little impatient. Punched the button again. Well, the light was on. The elevator was coming. I realized I had to wait a while. It will come. So if you keep the light on, the elevator will get there. Just punch the button and leave the light on. God will answer that prayer. But we get so busy and impatient. Well, he didn't answer, so no need to ask him again. Get up and run off. No, story was told of a woman went to heaven and she saw mansions other people had. As I preached this morning, God didn't go to build us a mansion. He went to prepare us a place, and the mansion's already there. But they tell the stories that this and had their mansion completed, and this and had their mansion completed. And she walked to one, just the wall was up, wasn't no roof on it. And inside that was all kinds of beautiful wrapped boxes and everything. She said, whose is that? And the angel said, well, that's your mansion, but it's not ready yet for you to come on home. Said, what's all the box in there? That's all the beautiful things God wanted to give you, but you run off before he got there to give them to you, and you're not getting them. Now, I don't know whether there's any truth in that or not, but that is a story told. I don't know if God works that way or not, but I know some people run off before God can bless them. Just about the time God gets ready to bless them, they run off, and they don't get the blessing. That happens. Amen? So just keep the light on, keep the faith, and all the devil has some knowledge, he's a stupid devil. The stupid devil was stupid to run out on God. He had everything he needed. He was the angel of light right next to the throne of God, but he ran out on God. He rebelled against God. He was stupid. Amen? He was stupid when he had the Lord crucified. Matter of fact, the Old Testament says when God's people started praising God, the Old Testament says the enemy started attacking one another. Isn't that a beautiful story? I believe we can start praising and thanking God, and our enemy will start attacking one another, and they'll destroy one another. Man, we're free from sin in Christ. One time a minister had a vision in which he saw demonic activity in the realm of the spirit. He said, I saw demons flying like a bunch of dumb chicken hawks. You could say sin makes you stupid. There's no smart sin. Amen? Think what a price you pay for little sins, a high price. Sin and rebellion against God and aligning yourself up with the devil, sin is self-destructive and stupid. And, you know, the television program says the dumbest criminals. It's a hilarious program, but it's a dumb program. And they actually show video footage of a policeman, and the policeman tells the stories of stupid things. One program showed a man robbing a convenience store. And when he robbed the store, hopped in the van, and on the back of the van had a for sale sign with a phone number on it. And the convenience store got the number off of the van as they run off, and she gave that number to the police. So the police called that number and said, do you have a van for sale? He said, yes, I do. Said, could you bring it over? We're very interested in buying it. He brought it over to the policeman, and They looked at it. It was the right number and the right color of the band. They arrested him, took him to jail. Two guys had robbed the convenience store and had a number on the back of the van. Sin is stupid. Amen? You don't do any smart things in sin. Amen? So you see, another story the policeman tells is a guy robbing, holding the gun on the clerk. And the clerk got so scared and shaky she couldn't open the safe. And the robber, he just said, well, I'll lay my gun down and I'll open it for you. Just tell me how. So he laid his gun down. She grabbed it and pointed at him and he run off. It was kind of stupid for Robber to lay his gun down, wasn't it? Well, sin is stupid. So you see, some of the dumbest things that the devil tells you when you get caught sinning, he say, but the next time you'll be smarter. You won't do it that way. You'll know how to do it. And that's why they go right back and sin again and get caught. There's no perfect crime. There's no perfect sin. Amen? You're going to get caught because he said, be sure your sins will find you out. In Christ, you have the right relationship with him. We have access to the understanding and insight of God. We have access to the laws and the principle of God and the abundance of God. So sometimes your relationship can be all messed up because you never had an insight. And the Holy Spirit can give you access into Christ. You can get your insight straightened up. You can see what to do. All we need sometimes to pull out of the mess we're in is insight in God. Am I right? No way out, but it's simple. Like the little boy said to me one time, said if one of my grandsons or something said, Papa, if you was in a room, concrete 12 foot high and concrete over it, no windows, no doors in it, and you was thrown in there, locked up in there, you didn't have anything in there but a baseball and a bat. Said, how would you get out? I said, well, I don't know. He said, well, just strike three times and you're out. Some of you didn't get that, did you? Well, it makes about as much sense as sometimes the way the devil tries to get us to do things. But, you know, gambling casinos are built on losers, not winners. They don't prosper in winners. There is no winners. You may go in and gamble. If you go in a casino, you may win a couple hundred dollars, but you're going to hang around or go back till they get it. You're a pretty good gambler if you gamble a lot and break even. Supposed to make a living, but get this in closing. We are complete in him. Now, if you're complete, what else you need? Listen to the scripture in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in him, there's in him again, which is the head of all principality and power. God is in charge of everything, everywhere, and you are complete in him. The Amplified Bible says in Philippians 6, every good thing that is ours, our identification with Christ Jesus. Meditate on them, think about them, talk about them, confess them, believe them, accept them, and when you recognize it, they're yours. They're yours. God has paid for it. Amen? Amen. How many need something from God now? All right? The singer's going to come back. You want God to do something for you? What I preached this morning tonight, I want you to come up here and the charity's going to, they're going to sing something here and we're going to pray for you. Amen. Brother Field's going to anoint you with oil and I want two or three people that you have faith that God hears your prayer. I want you to just come up here and stand around them. Don't want everybody putting a hand down. I'm a little peculiar and some people don't like me for that, but I can't help it because they're wrong.